Welcome to episode 308 of the Selling Your Screenplay podcast. I'm Ashley Scott Myers, screenwriter and blogger over at sellingyourscreenplay.com. Today I'm interviewing writer-director Lisa Van Dam Bates. She just did a cool horror film called Marla May. She doesn't live in Los Angeles and made this movie without a ton of experience. She's just someone who's ambitious and went out there and made something happen for herself. So we dig into all of that, how this film came to life, and ultimately how she got it together. So stay tuned for that interview. If you find this episode valuable, please help me out by giving me a review in iTunes or leaving a comment on YouTube or retweeting the podcast on Twitter or liking or sharing it on Facebook. These social media shares really do help spread word about the podcast, so they're very much appreciated. Any websites or links that I mention in the podcast can be found on my blog in the show notes. I also publish a transcript with every episode in case you'd rather read the show or look at something later on. You can find all the podcast show notes at www.sellingyourscreenplay.com/podcast, and then just look for episode number 308. If you want my free guide, How to Sell a Screenplay in 5 Weeks, you can pick that up by going to sellingyourscreenplay.com/guide. It's completely free. You just put in your email address and I'll send you a new lesson once per week for 5 weeks, along with a bunch of bonus lessons. I teach the whole process of how to sell your screenplay in that guide. I'll teach you how to write a professional logline and query letter and how to find agents, managers, and producers who are looking for material. Really is everything you need to know to sell your screenplay. Just go to sellingyourscreenplay.com/guide. Quick few words about what I'm working on. So we're in pre-production on my new horror mystery thriller film. As I record this podcast episode, we're in pre-production. But as you listen to it, we're actually in production since I'm recording this a few weeks ahead of time. We're shooting the first 3 weeks of December. We've assembled a great team. We have Tuesday Night from Nightmare on Elm Street in our lead. She's been fantastic. And we're casting a lot of other folks in these in some of the other roles that have a great horror pedigree as well. So the cast is really coming together nicely. There's a lot of odds and ends to put together, obviously get all this stuff figured out. And as I said, we got like less than 10 days now before we're actually shooting. So got to figure out all the locations. I got most of that in order, but you know, just crewing up, getting shots, getting the shot list together, locations, just all the logistics that go into film production. There's a lot of stuff. So I'm just running around like crazy trying to get it all figured out. I do have some help with two other producing partners, so it's definitely not all me, but it's definitely a lot of work even for three of us. So that's the main thing I'm working on this week and probably for the foreseeable future. So now let's get into the main segment. Today I'm interviewing writer-director Lisa Van Dam Bates. Here is the interview. Welcome, Lisa, to the Selling Your Screenplay podcast. I really appreciate you coming on the show with me today.
Thanks for having me.
So to start out, maybe you can tell us a little bit about your background. Where did you grow up and how did you get interested in the entertainment business?
I grew up in Olympia, Washington, and, moved around a little bit. I lived in Austin, Texas for about 7 years, and that's where I first kind of started doing creative things. So I've been bartending since I was 21, working in restaurants since I was 15, really. Okay. And when I started living in Austin, Texas, I co-founded a newspaper with Brandon Roberts, who is actually the executive producer of Marla May. Okay. So that was kind of like our first big project. And, you know, it was just a monthly kind of like alternative investigative newspaper with like little columns and whatnot. So,
How did you get into that? Did you have a background in journalism?
I did not. No, I just, I've always been like kind of a reader and editor. So I just kind of jumped into that and, you know, helped out, did a little bit of, I have like an art background. So I did a lot of like the ad design and like, you know, designed some covers here and there, things like that.
I
got you. And, that was just kind of like our project for the paper ran for almost 2 years. And then, the whole time people were telling us print is dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, it's not, but it is. Print is dead. There's absolutely no point in starting a print publication, especially if it's not mostly an online publication. So
yeah.
We lost that battle and I worked on just a handful of film sets in a variety of capacities. Mostly food service. I did a lot of craft services and that type of thing. I was an extra one time. So I really had very little to no film experience. But a guy that worked with us on the paper, who was just somebody we met, you know, a local Austin person, his roommate had like a really great camera and they would do film stuff together. So I kind of started to get this idea for a script and I was like, you know, thinking of filming it there with those people. That's kind of what led me to.
So let's take a step back. On IMDb, you have a number of special effects, makeup and stuff credits. How did you get into that? And do you think that was helping you to prepare as to become a writer director?
No, I actually never did any of that until after Marlon May was filmed. Oh, okay. So part of, you know, one thing when we ran the newspaper was that, Brandon, our executive producer, and I both did a lot of jobs in making that publication happen. And he was able to find a couple jobs that he was really passionate about and, you know, was excited about and good at. And I was hoping to kind of have the same approach in making a movie where, you know, by doing a little bit of everything, I would find something that I was really into. And making blood is my thing. So
I gotcha. So what is sort of your goal with all of this filmmaking? Do you want to be an actor, a writer, director, a makeup artist? Like, what is your ultimate goal?
You know, I do enjoy kind of doing a lot of different things. When I'm working on other people's projects, I really like doing the special effects, makeup. You know, I like doing set design and wardrobe sometimes too. But for myself, ultimately, I probably am just going to be a writer, director, and do blood.
No, I gotcha. So let's dig into your recent film, Marla, or I guess just now it's called Marla. To start out, maybe you can give us a quick pitch or a log line. What is that film? What is the premise of that film?
Marla is about a woman who is a waitress, and she gets an opportunity to get a free IUD from a family friend that kills everyone she has sex with.
Okay. So where did this premise come from? What was the genesis of this story?
I had never written a piece of fiction. I'd written like a couple columns and some research articles for our paper, but I just decided like, okay, I'm going to write a screenplay and we'll see how that goes. So I was just kind of fishing around for ideas, kind of, you know, stewing on things for a while. And I had just this like really uncomfortable, horrible appointment at Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood in Texas is like a whole nother, you know, it's like a compound with like barbed wire fences and like really high gates because like people there
are trying to blow up. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like my first time, you know, I've come to Planned Parenthood in Olympia and I think a couple protesters with signs is like a big deal, but like going to Planned Parenthood there was like a little bit traumatic. And then, you know, once I was inside, it was just a whole, you know, just a really uncomfortable experience. And I was like, oh, this would be a good thing to put in a movie. And it kind of snowballed from there.
Okay. And I'm curious, too, just sort of in terms of the genre. I mean, when I first heard the premise, I mean, you have a really high concept premise, so I applaud you on that. It's a really great premise for a horror movie. It felt very reminiscent of those sort of old school horror movies like A Rosemary's Baby, where it's just really creepy and sort of there's a lot of sort of sinister, you know, below the surface. Were you aware of that? Were you thinking of that? Are you a fan of these films? Maybe just talk us through that process a little bit of deciding on this idea and what influenced you.
I am a fan of Rosemary's Baby, so thanks for mentioning that one. I'm not a fan of a lot of, you know, a lot of people draw comparisons with certain movies that I'd rather not ever see again. Yeah. Not be compared to. I think one thing that it was important to me is just kind of like showing people what it's like to be a woman dealing with these issues. And I think that there is something like really inherently scary about being a woman and like dealing with reproductive rights in general, but especially right now. So it feels extra relevant.
Yeah. Perfect. So let's talk about your writing process. Just a couple quick questions. Where do you typically write? Do you have a home office? Do you go out to a Starbucks and you need that sort of ambiance of people around you?
You know, I'm actually I cannot concentrate in a coffee shop. I really wish I could because I'm a little bit OCD when I'm working from home. I like can't sit down and get anything done. Like if I have a load of laundry to do or if there's like anything to do in the home, I'm like, oh, got to do that first. So when I wrote Marla May, I just had a really comfortable, good chair. I had just started fostering this little blind chihuahua whose name was Marla May, actually. That was the that's who the movie is named after. So I just, you know, had kind of thought through the idea a little bit and decided it was time to sit down and start writing. And I actually wrote the whole script in this open source software called Emacs. So it's a little bit, the format was a little bit off, but
it was free.
I hung out in my chair with my little writing snuggle buddy, and I didn't, you know, that was my first time writing anything of that nature, so I didn't have a outline or like any, I didn't really have a process. I was just kind of like writing and like deleting and adding more, and the first version of the script was 400 pages.
Oh my god.
So yeah, that was and I didn't know, you know, that was insanely long. So I had a couple people read it. They're all like, yeah, this is like all over the place, it's way too much. I got some really good feedback from some, you know, film people and from random friends who are writers. And then I just kind of went back to work at at editing and kind of like refiguring things out. And in the final script is like 120 pages and only has one scene from that first script. So things change a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. So when do you typically write? Are you someone who writes in the morning, early in the morning, late at night? What is your writing schedule when you get in the groove?
I am not a morning person at all. Nothing in the morning, please. You know, I've gone through periods where I like try to be really good about like sitting down and just writing something every single day. And that will typically be like really late at night. You know, I'll set aside like an hour for writing a day. And lately I've been less, you know, I've been working a lot on other people's projects and I've been kind of all over the place. So I have a lot of various writing projects that are unfinished right now, and I have not been super dedicated to seeing them through.
I gotcha. So I wonder if you can give people a little advice on that approach to writing where you have a 400 page first draft on your next scripts. Have you gone back and spent more time with an outline and tried to come up with a draft, or is that your process that you feel like it basically worked for you, so that's just going to continue to be your process?
I really fought against that process for a while because it's so wasteful and silly. And I just, you know, I like have written a lot of outlines like in detail and not wanted to like jump into the actual writing until I had like a more kind of formulated idea. And that hasn't seemed to really work for me when I'm writing solo. I'm co-writing a feature right now, and that's like working really awesome for co-writing. You know, I think we need to be on the same page and really like have that structure. But when I'm just writing by myself, I think that like in the writing I'm like kind of figuring things out. I think everybody does it differently, and I have not really fine-tuned my like perfect method yet.
Yeah. How long did it take you to write that 400 page script?
That took about, it was exactly 1 year between the time I sat down and wrote the first page and the first day of production.
Oh, okay. So pretty quick, actually, a 400-page draft and then cutting it down. And basically, you did a page one rewrite on the 120-page script.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how many versions were in between that 120-page version and the 400-page version?
I would say probably, like, you know, I did a couple versions where I was trying to just edit that first big monster. And then at some point, I realized that I just kind of had to rewrite it. And then after that rewrite, I probably had like 10 versions. So there's a lot. Yeah, things moved around a lot.
Yeah. So let's talk about the development process. So when you had this 400-page script, you gave it to this producer that you just mentioned, Brandon, I assume. Who else did you give it to, and who else gave you notes on it?
I was working with, I had like a friend of a friend who was, you know, we were looking at to possibly be the DP, and she kind of skimmed it. She didn't really give me notes. I had a couple writing friends like from that we had like hired for our newspaper in various capacities, and I had them read it, and they didn't really have, you know, they weren't necessarily film people. They didn't really have constructive. I think also a lot of people are hesitant to give you like actual criticism because most people just want to hear that their thing that they made is good. And so I got a lot of like compliments, but I know it was not good. So there's that. One person that was like so helpful was I just went to kind of like a meet and greet film night in Austin and randomly met some like older guy who had just finished a short film, and he was like, you know, I just want to give back to the community and help people out. So he read the whole thing, thank you, and wrote like, you know, like a 2 or 3 page analysis on like what the issues were and what I should really concentrate on. And that was super, you know, it wasn't something I wanted to hear at the time, but as I showed more and more people in film, I kept getting those same notes back, and that really helped me realize that that was, you know, something that needed to be addressed.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So how did you approach screenplay structure with this? Had you read any of the books, Blake Snyder, Sid Field? Did you understand even, you know, the three-act structure, the turning points? Did you have any of that stuff in mind? So it was just free form. You were just writing intuitively.
I was just writing in this program that doesn't even, you know, I've been a movie fan for a long time, and I realize now that I was not watching movies the same way that I do now back then. So I didn't have, you know, I didn't know what a shot list was. I didn't know, like, didn't understand anything about cameras or, you know, any, like, literally nothing. I knew nothing. Mm-hmm. And I just decided to do it anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, I applaud you for that. And what about like genre requirements? Did you study some other similar films and try and get some of the basic beats down, just in terms of like pacing and tone and stuff?
No, I really was trying to do, I had something very specific in mind that I was trying to do, and I didn't see a huge correlation to anything that was existing. I like really was trying to do something a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So I think in that sense, it was probably more helpful not to be over knowledgeable about what's out there, because I think it can be really easy to kind of put yourself in a box. Mm-hmm. And that first script was definitely could not be fit in any box, but I've always been a horror fan, and I wasn't really interested in making a non-horror movie, so that was kind of the only set thing.
I gotcha. Okay, so once the script was done, you boiled it down to this 120-page script. What were those next steps for you and Brandon to actually get this thing produced? Did you do a round of financing? Did you go out to friends and family? Did you finance it yourself? Maybe you can give us a little insight in that. I know this interview is going to be inspiring to other people. I know there's a lot of screamers out there that have their script and they're looking like, what is that next step to actually going from screenplay to getting it into production?
We self-financed, not very much money. I think you can spend a lot less money than people think you can. Mm-hmm. I got really lucky in that I moved back to Olympia to film because, we had kind of tried setting things up in Austin. That was the original goal, was to film in Austin, Texas. And it just was not happening. There's too much, there's a lot of commercial stuff there, a lot of like LA productions that come through. And it was just like, anytime we had somebody like lined up to do a position, they would get hired out from under us. And it was just a couple months of that. And I decided like, you know what? We have like all these, I grew up in Olympia. I know people. I can, you know, like ask for favors for locations and stuff. So it's just easier to do it here. And we were moving. We were planning on moving away from Austin anyway. So came to Olympia, decided to just self-finance. I found a couple really amazing people on Craigslist. And which is like, you know, crazy lucky. Like most of what you find on Craigslist is complete trash. And a couple of those people kind of put me in touch on local like Facebook film groups. And that's where I was able to hire out the rest of our positions and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I just did a lot of job. Like Brandon and I have like very opposite skill sets, and we were able to cover a lot of, you know, Brandon and I did pre-production all by ourselves, and we were able to do, 20 jobs each on set as well.
Yeah, yeah. And so what does that look like casting in Olympia, Washington? Is there a good acting community that you're able to tap into? Did you feel like you got some strong actors? That's always feels like the big trade-off. Exactly what you just mentioned. Outside of LA, you can get locations. That sort of stuff is generally a lot cheaper than LA. The downside is the crew and the cast is you don't get as experienced people in crew and cast.
Our crew is like super amazing. It's people that I like still work with all the time, and they, you know, I was the one who didn't know anything, and they were all like pretty seasoned professionals who, you know, were most of whom are like really good friends still. So I got really lucky there. And with casting, I kind of just pulled a bunch of favors. I had, you know, the guy who plays Marla's boyfriend in the movie is like one of my good friends from middle school that I happened to run into when we were in pre-production, and he's done a little bit of acting, and he was actually my boyfriend for like 2 weeks in sixth grade. So I was like, hey, want to be my boyfriend again on the camera? And he was like, sure. And then
did he have some acting experience?
He had done a couple short films, and he like lives in LA, but he, you know, has family up here, so he can come up here pretty easily. So that was just a lucky one. And then one of my best friends that I've known since like fourth grade agreed to play the rapist, the stalker rapist. So just like little favors like that where I'm like, okay, you're not an actor, but I need your help. And I got really lucky that my friends were awesome. They killed it. And then the people that I did hire that were, you know, strangers to me. Again, I did a lot of like Craigslist open auditions and posted in a lot of like local Seattle, a lot of Seattle talent. So just like local Seattle actors groups as well.
Okay. Okay. So then once you got the film produced, what were your next step to finding a distributor? Did you guys go and do the film festival route? Did you just cold submit to a distributor? Maybe walk us through that process a little bit.
So we did apply to a lot of film festivals, and I, you know, I see the value in that. I see that it's like great networking, and it's, you know, it does get like a little bit of like hype surrounding your movie, but it's not what it was made out to be. Like a long time ago, I think that you could go to a film festival and find a distributor there. And I did get a couple kind of like little distribution offers at a couple film fests, but nothing like substantial or solid. And you know, film festivals are expensive, especially for like a self-funded movie. Like I'm a bartender, and I paid for all of post-production like with tip money over the course of a couple years. So it's like I just didn't have the resources to pour into like prioritizing film festivals and flying all over the country to like meet people and do that. Mm-hmm. So I worked on somebody else's film and met a producer who has like, you know, helped sell movies in the past. And I just, after working with him, I just reached out to him and I was like, hey, you know, I'd love for, you know, anywhere from you selling my movie for me or just kind of showing me the ropes and helping me figure it out. And we, you know, double teamed it, and ultimately, he is the one who found the distribution deal that we went with. So.
Okay, perfect. And who is your distributor?
High Octane Pictures.
Okay, perfect, perfect. So so what's next for you? You talk about you've been working on some other projects. What other stuff do you have cooking up?
I have a couple little scripts floating around that are not anywhere near anything. And I'm really excited about, I'm co-writing and going to co-direct a horror feature, and that is kind of coming together. We're about to start fundraising for that. So
okay, perfect.
Starting to get excited about that.
Yeah, perfect. And I always like to just end the interview by just asking the guest if they've seen anything that was maybe a little below the radar that you think screenwriters really should watch. Anything Hulu, Netflix, anything recently you've seen that you really loved?
Oh God, this is like, I don't know why, but I am so terrible at picking information out of my brain on the top of my head. Like ridiculous. I'll go to trivia and it'll be like, the answer is Olympia, Washington. And I know all of the, like all of the clues. And I'm like, I don't know. Can't think of it. So, I'll have to think on that. I can message you if I come up with anything.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah. So yeah, no worries at all. How can people see Marla May? Do you know what the release schedule is going to be like, where it's going to be released and where it's going to be shown?
I know that we're doing kind of like you can pre-order it on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
That will be out November 5th. That's the official release date. And beyond that, I'm not entirely sure. I know that that's going to be, you know, after we do that kind of like official release, that it will be available on more like VOD platforms.
Okay, perfect, perfect. What's the best way for people to keep up with what you're doing? Twitter, Facebook, a blog, anything you're comfortable sharing, I'll round up for the show notes.
I really, really am terrible at social media. I am the worst. I've been, you know, it's like I have had an Instagram for 10 years and I have like 4 posts and I
You
know.
You and me both, so I'm right there with you.
And it's great, you know, I'll like do all these like cool effects on other people's movies and they're like, where can I look at your Instagram to see this stuff?
Oh yeah, that'd be a great place to put them, yeah.
I'm this horrible person who never takes pictures. I never have my phone out. I'm just, so you can follow me on Instagram, lisa.vandambates. maybe it'll give me some incentive to like actually use it.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a recluse and I'm terrible at social media.
No worries at all. So, well, Lisa, I really appreciate you coming on and talking with me today. Good luck with this film, Marla, and good luck with all your future projects as well.
Sweet. Thank you so much.
Perfect. Thank you. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Okay.
I just want to talk quickly about SYS Select. It's a service for screenwriters to help them sell their screenplays and get writing assignments. The first part of the service is the SYS Select Screenplay Database. Screenwriters upload their screenplays along with a logline, synopsis, and other pertinent information like budget and genre, and then producers search for and hopefully find screenplays they want to produce. Dozens of producers are in the system looking for screenplays right now. There have been a number of success stories come out of the service. You can find out about all the SYS Select successes by going to sellingyourscreenplay.com/success. Also on SYS podcast episode 222, I talk with Steve Deering, who was the first official success story to come out of the SYS Select database. When you join SYS Select, you get access to the screenplay database along with all the other services that we're providing to SYS Select members. These services include the newsletter. This monthly newsletter goes out to a list of over 400 producers who are actively seeking writers and screenplays. Each SYS Select member can pitch one screenplay in this monthly newsletter. We also provide screenwriting leads. We have partnered with one of the premier paid screenwriting leads services, so I can syndicate their leads to SYS Select members. There are lots of great paid leads coming in each week from our partner. Recently, we've been getting 5 to 10 high-quality paid leads per week. These leads run the gamut. There's producers looking for a specific type of spec script to producers looking to hire a screenwriter to write up one of their ideas or properties. They're looking for shorts, features, TV, and web series, pilots, all types of projects. If you sign up for SYS Select, you'll get these leads emailed directly to you several times per week. Also, you get access to the SYS Select forum, where we will help you with your logline and query letter and answer any screenwriting related questions that you might have. We also have a number of screenwriting classes that are recorded and available in the SYS Select forum. These are all the classes that I've done over the years, so you'll have access to those whenever you want. Once you join, the classes cover every part of writing your screenplay, from concept to outlining to the first act, second act, third act, as well as other topics like writing short films and pitching your projects in person. Once again, if this sounds like something you'd like to learn more about, please go to sellingyourscreenplayselect.com. Again, that is sellingyourscreenplayselect.com. On the next episode of the podcast, I'm going to be interviewing filmmaker John Sweets, who just did a sci-fi film called 3022 starring Omar Epps. We talked through this film and how it all came together for him. He also was on the podcast a few years ago. It was episode number 44, so I will link to that in the show notes. Definitely check that out. Usually the first time I have somebody on the podcast, I sort of ask for their origin story, you know, where they're from, where they how they got into the business, and sort of their early parts of their career. I don't necessarily want to repeat that same thing. So when I have someone on a second time, I usually just refer people back to that first episode. So if you didn't hear episode number 44, definitely check that out before next week. It'll just give you some sort of background on John and how he got into the business and worked his way up to writing and directing a lot of these feature films that he's been doing over the last few years. So anyways, keep an eye out for that episode next week. That's the show. Thank you for listening.